Okay, we are in Chelek Gimel, Perek Aleph, and we're right before Ois Hey. The last line we said in a while already, but the last time we were here, we did the beginning of Perek Aleph through Ois Dalet. And the last thing we left off right before Ois Hey was the Ramchal said that there are five Chelkei HaNeshama. He said V'nei Klal Chelkei HaNeshama, the last line before Ois Hey, is Mischalek L'chamisha V'nikraim Nefesh Ruach Neshama Chaya and Yechida. There are five Chalokim to what we're calling a person's Neshama, which the Medrash says is called the Nefesh, the Ruach, the Neshama, the Chaya, and the Yechida. The Mefarshim explain that the parts usually that we refer to when we talk about a person are the first three, the Nefesh, the Ruach, and the Neshama. The Nefesh, the Ruach, and the Neshama. The Nefesh and the Ruach and the Neshama are the parts that are that are attached really to the person. The Nefesh is the part closest to the Gashmius, which we've explained before. Then there's the Ruach, and then there is the Neshama. So, again, I really don't understand all this, but I'll tell you what the Mefarshim say, and we'll leave it at that. And that is that the mashal that the Rav Chaim Volozhiner gives and others give is a mashal to a glass blower. Anyone ever saw anyone blow glass? So what happens is there's like a pipe and there's this whatever material at the end which is going to turn into the glass, melted, whatever it is, sand, and turning into the raw glass. So basically the person sticks his mouth again on the pipe and he blows. So the breath comes out of his mouth, it flows through the pipe, and then it blows up the whatever keli he's making at the end. So the neshama is from the lashon of neshima, is the breath. The ruach is as it flows through, so to speak. And then the nefesh is the bottom part, the keli that's being made, which is the person. So Chazal say that the nefesh is the part that's attached to the gashmias. The neshama is the part that's attached to the ruchnias, and the ruach, right? The pasuk in somewhere says, Kehelah says, "Miyodei ruach bnei adam oili lamala ruach behem ayredesi lamata ba'aretz." The ruach is what attaches the nefesh to the neshama. The ruach goes up and down. So that's usually the parts that are referred to when we're talking to a person. The nefesh is the lowest ruchnias part attached to the person. The ruach attaches it to the neshama. Now, Chaya and Yechida is something I don't understand, but it seems to be the way they explain it is these are things totally up in the Olama Yisratzilus and all these Olama Saruchniyim. But I saw, I think, Rabbi Kaplan in the Feldheim one in the back, he says, if you want to keep the muscle of the glassblower, so the Chaya would be the person blowing the glass, and the Yechida would be his neshama. Well, when we're talking about man and Hashem, so basically Chaya and Yechida is something to do with Hashem. Hashem blew the Ruach Chayim into the person, so Hashem is the one blowing it. His breath is the Neshama, the Ruach, the Nefesh. And if he's the glass blower, something, some connection to Hashem is the Chaya and Yechida. Again, this is way above my pay scale. But anyways, that is the way the Mefarshim explain it. That usually you find Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama the ones dealt with, because those are the ones mostly dealt with in a Ge'ah person. So now, says the Ramchal in Ois Hei, again, when Chelek Gimel Perek Aleph Ois Hei, V'amnam, Yesh l'neshama hal yayna hazois. This Neshama hal yayna has Mikrim miyuchadim ru'uyin la kifi inyana. It has certain times to it. Certain things happen to it. And even though it's attached to the guf, we explained that the nefesh is the part that's attached to the gashmias, and there's a whole chain up to Shemayim. But still, since this neshama is ruchnias and it's up in Shemayim, it has the shaykhis to the ruchnias. Now obviously we know it has a shaykh to the Ruchnias, but we also know, being that it's attached to the guf, it's limited by the gashmias of the guf. But it still retains some aspects of it that are not minimized or not held back from it because it's attached to the guf. Omnam, however, a nimshach v'noilid mizeh davar murgish v'nikr b'seich alazim ha'shavtay. This inyan, that it has a shaykhah to the ruchnias, that because it's attached to the guf, doesn't bother that shaykhah. However, that's not something that a person could tell. You don't really know it exists. You can't, it's not something that's very murgish v'nikr in the seich alazim. Only at some times, very few times, do you get this feeling. And what does that mean? Chazal tell us, the Gemara Megillah says, that Daniel said, that Daniel said, I was able to see the vision, but the people that were with me, they didn't see it. But they became very afraid. A great fear fell on them. So they ran away. Who were those three? Who were those other people? Sagi, Zechariah, and Malachi. That they were not able to see this Nebuah. So the Gemara says, if they didn't see it, what were they afraid of? So this is the lashon he brought. Af agav, even though the iul lechazi, that he didn't see it, maz lechazi, but his mazel saw it. Meaning, they weren't able to see the vision. They didn't see it. If you don't see it, what are you afraid of? If you see something, you know to be afraid. But if you can't see it, what are you afraid of? But sometimes a person's mazel, which means his ruchnius, something in him senses something, and therefore it causes the person to be afraid. So therefore, they didn't see anything, their gashmias couldn't see, and even the ruchnias couldn't see, really. The ruchnias of their seichel. They didn't get this nevuah. But something way up somewhere, which we call mazle, their mazel, sent something, and it sent some message down to them, and because of that they were afraid. They didn't know why they were afraid, they didn't know anything. But somehow, they sensed it. So where did that come from? That came from this inyan, that the ruchnius sometimes is able to see something that the guf can't see, and at the same time, it'll send a message to the guf. So that's lipamim atzad hamiyah. It's only very few times that ruchnius sends you something and sends a message to the guf, and it's nikkur in the guf. Usually, that aspect of the neshama, that high up aspect that's able to go and sense ruchnias, you don't see it in the guf usually. So that's what he says over here. Afagav yu lechazi mazli chazi shekvar higia inyan lenefesh hazoi sal yoyna. So this inyan came to the nefesh al yoyna. It sensed it. V'lo higia mimena l'mashava v'aseichel tir shalom. But we have to understand, even though it sent the message to the guf, there was nothing in the seichel that they understood. There was nothing in their machshava that they could understand. Usually we say, seichel, that's the ruchnias of the person. That's his neshama, that's all the ruchnias of the person. But this ruchnias is above his seichel. His body might sense it, but the seichel can't figure it out. Elektsas hisairus, some type of little shaking up the layayser. That's what comes from this neshama that's attached to the guf, but has retained a part of it that is separate from the guf. And therefore, it could sense something in the lamas al yainim, the seichel may not recognize it, and the guf itself gets some type of message, but we don't know what. Now, what does that have to do? Okay, so that's one inyan, but it goes weiter. V'ulam ratza achach ma'yayna l'chalik hazman l'shnei chalakim. The Rabbi Nisham, in his infinite wisdom, understood that you have to divide time into two periods. Ho'echa l'payel abriyus v'echa l'bnuchatam. That has to be a part of the time that you work and a part of the time you rest. V'hainu ha'yayim v'halayla. Ki ha'yayim hu z'man ha'maisa v'halayla z'man ha'manucha. The day you work, and night time is a time of resting. V'sam b'teva v'alei ha'chayim she'yishnu k'day she'tiyelem l'ruchesei ha'manucha me'amalo. And it's not just someone with seichel who says you can't just work forever, take a rest. So figure out, day is a good time to work, the night time is a good time to rest. It's in the tev of all balechayim. It's part of the bria that they should sleep. Or they don't. They, if, they don't have seichel to understand that they're getting tired. It's their metzias. So therefore, they rest in order that they and their ruchai should have menucha from their work. And at that time, they'll get back their kayach. And the next morning, they'll wake up rejuvenated and refreshed, ready to go on. Now, when a person's sleeping, so is kaychais nachis, they're resting, he's not working. And his senses, they're also quiet, they're not doing anything. In his mind, it's also very relaxed and it's very rested and it's quiet, it's hushed, it's quiet, it's not supposed to be working too much. But there's one thing that's running wild, and that is his imagination. The kayach hadimyon, that thing runs wild. V'yadame v'yitzayir inyanim, and what it does is it conceives and envisions inyanim, all different types of things, k'tisha mashi yadamnalai, whatever comes to it. Now it's not just nothing, it's the leftovers of things that it pictured while he was awake. That's one way of what we would call dreams. What's a dream? A dream is a person's imagination. Now, a person also has imagination when he's awake, but then his seichel is at full force. So, if that person dreams and dreams and dreams and the seichel doesn't come and keep him in check, he's just going to be dreaming his whole life, right? He's never going to be concrete. He's never going to be able to do anything. He's always dreaming of all different types of... So the seichel keeps the dimyanus in check. But the seichel's resting, it's on vacation, it's in low mode, it's quiet. So now the dimyan run. But what does it take with it? It takes things that conjured up during the day that the seichel didn't allow it to run wild, and it runs wild with it then. That's one thing. And there's all different types of substances in the person's body that rise up into his brain that also causes dreams. It can come from natural different types of things in his body. Sometimes it's a result of food. This is the inyan of dreams. And there's Rabbeinu Bechaye in Parashas Miketz, in the beginning of Parashas Miketz, by Parashas Dreams, who he says, his lashon is, v'zeh inyan achalaymus. Chalaymus come from three different sivas. One is from machalim, from food. One is from machshavis. And one is v'bnei chizuk ha-nefesh. So he says, food, his lashon is, melidim gasais umalin ashan alamaya. Somehow, it's whatever he also calls it over here, the edim and the ashanim, all different types of, we would literally translate it as steam and smoke, but it's all different types of substances that are a result of the food in the person, and somehow it has an effect on his brain. So his Rabbeinu Bechaye's lashon is that a chalayim that comes from these things, from food, those are all dvar metalim, it's hevel, because where's it coming from? It's coming from the food. Then there's machshavas. That was the second thing he said. And that is, like we said, a person thinks during the day, and he thinks things up. So then at night, so his seichel's not there, but those thoughts he had during the day, the dimyanus start taking over those thoughts and take them different places. And then there's the chalayim that comes from chizuk ha-nefesh. And chizuk ha-nefesh means it's coming from the ruchnius. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Ramchal is also going to talk about. And that's more where you see true things, or the truest, so to speak. As we'll see, every chalayim is dvar b'teilim. But the truest things, those are the things that come from the kaychas ha-nefesh, and we'll see exactly what that means. So, and he goes for arichas over there, if anyone's ever interested in looking in dreams or need a maramakam, it's a good long maramakam on dreams. So that's he says over here, is either misha'iris mashinitztayir, which is what Rabbeinu Bechaye, I think, would call the machshava, and then there's also from the machal. Now the next paragraph says the Ramchal, V'amnam chalka kabaris farach shmai oid, sha nefesh al yayna shezacharnu. This nefesh al yayna that we talked about before, which we'll say is the neshama, tinasek sas ba'isi azmami kishira gufanim. It also gets a rest. It gets a rest from the guf. So it detaches itself a little bit from being tied down to the guf. V'chalokim imena, and part of it, dehainu ad haruach, meaning everything up to the ruach, or down to the ruach, I should say, the neshama and the ruach, yemis'alim u'misnatkim min aguf. They go away and they detach themselves from the guf. V'rak ha'chelek ha'echad shu ha'nefesh. The last chelek, only the nefesh, yemishrim ha'nefesh ha'tachtayna. That remains with the gashmias. So that last chelek remains. As Chazal say, Shina is Echa Mishishim Sheva Misa. Sleeping is 1/60th of death. B'shas Misa, all the Chelkei HaNefesh, including the Nefesh HaTachtayna, everything leaves the Guf entirely. B'shas HaShina, it's not like that. Only certain Chalakim of the Ruchni is part of the Neshama Goa. Now, for this reason, there's a Ruach HaTumah that comes in. Because, as we all well know, that there's no such thing as a vacuum. There's no such thing as emptiness when it comes to Kedusha and Tumah. There's either Kedusha or there's Tumah. The more Kedusha is in the place, when it leaves, it creates this empty space that gets filled up with Tumah. So therefore, can you imagine if all the Neshama and all these Ruchniyas things that were filling up this area leave for a moment, so what fills up there? Tumah fills up over there. Now, when these things come back, they push the tumah out, and all that's left is, Chazal say, the tumah goes, just is left over by the edges of the hands, by the fingers, and therefore that's why we have to wash Netilas Yadayim. But that's the science, so to speak, of it, is because the neshama and these ruchnius things have left, the tumah fills up the space. When the kedusha comes back, it leaves, but there's a little bit left. It's interesting. So I think we might have mentioned once before that the Vilna Gaon said that when Avraham and Avram was killed, Akedush Hashem, so the tumah that's left over when a person wakes up got shvacher. It's not as strong. They say, I think Rav Shlomo Zalman and Arbach said, or someone in Yerushalayim said, it seems the, even though we know the Zinyan, you're supposed to wash Negevasser immediately right after you, right by your bed, and these type of things, there's coolers in the house, maybe one building is called Dalet Amos, even though usually it's not supposed to go more than Dalet Amos, but if you're in the same house, it's all called, even if it's more than Dalet Amos, it's called Dalet Amos. So Shlomo Zalman, I think, said that in Yerushalayim, the Akira Yerushalayim were Mako in the Indian of not washing immediately by the bed. It's a chidus, a chumrah, whatever you want to say it is, but they were mekel, and they were saimlich because the Gaon said the tumah got shvacher. Since it got shvacher, you could be saimlich on this kula that you don't necessarily have to do it right away. In the days of old, it was much stronger, do it as quick as possible, and it was less to be saimlich on the kula, and they were. So when you think about it, it's like almost anti the entire thing, because the kedusha of the neshama remains just as strong, right? And by definition, if the kedusha comes, the tumah fills it up. But that tumah that filled it up, right, where the kedusha was just a shvach or a tumah. So whatever was left over was also shvach. Unless the other, again, I don't know the mechanics of how these things work. Unless the other way to say maybe is the tumah is the same, but when the kedusha comes back in with your neshama, it chases out more of the tumah and there's less left. I don't know which way to say it. Either way, when you think about it, it's that kedusha that he brought to the world shvachened up this entire tumah. Whether you say it's pshas ma'aser or whatever's left over, whatever it is, it shvachened up this entire tumah. Now, so. So the neshama goes up, a little bit is left, the chelek hanefesh. So now what happens with all those ruchniyah things? Where do they go for their vacation, right? Where do they go to rest? So they fly around where they're allowed to. There's a certain area, fly zone that they're allowed to go, that's where they go. And they could go around and they could have a shaychus with all different types of malachim and ruchnius beings up in Shemayim. If the kidim, b'kidei ateva, whether it's those things that are in charge of the teva, the malachim that are memuna on the gashmius, ayim malachim amalachi kabbalah, chas v'shalom kabi malachi kabbalah, ayim ashedim, kefish mashi zdamela lepisiba me'asibas. Whatever the reason is, I don't know exactly what the itinerary is, how they know where they're going, but they meet up with whoever they want to meet up over there. Now, obviously, when it goes up these ruchnius things, they don't entirely detach themselves from the person, right? there's still some type of shaykhis. They go come back. It's not totally detached. Misa, person doesn't come back, right? Even though all halakim are detached. But they have a way to get most of their shackles off, so to speak. However, there's still a line down to the person. So sometimes it's possible that it finds something up out in the ruchnias. And whatever it finds there, it's able to transmit a message down to the person. And it comes, so the Pamim Tamshik Inyamashi Siga, whatever it learned there, it could go down to the Nefesh. Now when it comes down, it goes into the person's Nefesh, but then how does it translate into the person's body? So the Dimyan takes over, because it has to get translated into some type of Gashmias. So the Dimyan is Misayra, wakes up, so it starts making pictures and images according to the way imagination works. Now, you should know that just because it's coming from the Elamas Al-Yayinim doesn't mean it's necessarily a true thing. It could be, he says, it could be Amiti, it could be the truth. And that Pashtus, if it came from a Malach of Kedusha, tells it something, so when it comes down, it'll be the truth. Or it could be chayzer, it could be something totally false, and that could be either from the Sheinim or from the Malachi Kabbalah. Depends where it came from. And this will come now, the Inyan that it was Masig, whatever it learned from whichever Malach, will come down into the Dimyan, and the Dimyan, like we said, makes a picture in the some type of Gashmi's picture, and that's why even if you know the truth, you have to figure out what the dream is all about, because it's not a direct message. The message comes down, it has to be translated and put into the Gashmi's. So the dream, the dinyana, the imagination takes over and puts the message into some type of tzior, like it bedrakha, the way it does it. Lepamim bebilbul gadol. Now when he does that, sometimes it's put together with a whole bunch of other things that's just confusion. With harayvus rav, it can be mixed with all different types of things. Which means to say, a person already could be dreaming from all the other things that cause dreams. The food and the other substances in his body. And that's all narishkeit. So now you have a picture coming down with a little bit of truth in it, translated into a picture, that gets put into a dream that is already has imaginations making up just a bunch of narishkeit from the Edim and the makalim that he ate. So therefore the entire dream, even if he's getting a message, is a very hard thing. Besides trying to figure out the nimshal of what the Dimyan decided to turn your message into. The message comes down, seven paras of power. You gotta figure it out. That's a job in itself. What happens now when it's mixed in, you know, what if it be seven flying paras, right? The flying paras you have to figure out is the narishkeit that's coming from Sefer, right? And the paras are coming from the right? When you start mixing it all together, so sometimes it's a lot, sometimes it comes clearer. It's not, there's no exact science. It depends what else is going on in the person. So therefore, even if you're getting a message, it's a very unclear message. It's possible a person can get information, he can find out things through this way. He can find out things, the malach can tell his neshama what's going to happen to him. Now, who is the Malach has the right to start telling you the future? Obviously, he says, why did the Malach get a right to tell your Neshama that message? Hashem wanted that your Neshama should know it. Whichever Nesharis he chose to tell you, it comes to the Nefesh, the Dimyan makes it a picture. Sometimes the picture is obscure, or the beer, sometimes it's clear. That in a vision of night, the Rebbeinu Shlom sometimes will reveal things to a person, will give a person the knowledge of what's going to happen. Nimtza, klal ha-chalaymus. If you want to say what exactly is, to sum up what the chalaymus, tziyari ha-dimyun. It's pictures made by your imagination. Mitzad atzmai, either mitzad itself, meaning, besides the imaginations running wild because of his food, because of the things that he stams I thought about during the day. As we say, a person dreams about what he thinks about during the day, because that's left over in his mind, and the imagination takes over. Or the dreams could come from the third part, and that's from the neshama, the way it's being ma'ir him, it's being told different hasagas. And here he says, "Beferish, if it comes from Misharzi Hakodesh, it'll be true. If it's from the other things, Yadavar Kodesh will be a lie." Who Mashamul Chachamim Zechayin Livracha? Chazal said, "Kana Yidei Malach, Kana Yidei Shei." The Gemara says, "Stirim Sukim." If you could believe dreams. Or dreams are all Narishkeit, the Gemara says it depends. If it's Aydei Malach, so you could believe it. If it's Aydei Shei, not. However, like we said, it's all mixed in with some Narishkeit of the Dimyan. And that's what Chazal said, you can't have a dream without Dvar Mitalim. There is another category of dreams, that's different than this. This is just messages. There's real nevuah that comes in the dream. That'll be its own parak later on. So that's the end of this parak, where we're dealt with the neshama, the nefesh, and different things that it does. Now, parak sheni. Now we move on to the next inyan, and that is how a person could use Sheamus and could use Kishah. Kfar biyarnu b'chalokim shekadmu. We already explained different chalokim before. Shetchilas, and this whole first paragraph is going to be like a chazar of things you said before. Shetchilas kol anivroim u'kol kaychas nivdolim. The source of all creations is really the kaychas ha'yayinim, things in Shamayim Ruchnias. Musudarim v'seidr ma'ave machlokas yaduas. It's in a special order with different categories and different levels. U'mehem ishtalshin l'madraga gashvin l'mineyam. And from there it slowly makes its way down according to different madragas till it gets to the gashmias. Oy biyarnu inyan kaychas ha'ra. The same thing as when it comes to Ra, which is the lack of Tov, which is Hester Panim, also starts up there, moves its way down. Where is the really the Metzius of the thing? Is it the Gashmius or is it the Ruchnius? It's really the Ruchnius. The Iker is the roots. The Gashmius is just the Hemshech of what's coming from above. Over there is where everything is misudar. Here's where everything starts. According to what the actual thing is. What's supposed to be in the sharashim, what's supposed to bring its way down into the branches, into this world, it all starts up there. The Rebbe Shem made it that the certain levels it goes down. And the inyan starts up in the ruchnius and goes down level by level from tzura to tzura. It's all through the ruchnius. Until it hits the gashmias, mixes with the gashmias, and becomes the gashmias. So when you look at the Gashmias, there's a chain all the way back till the Kaychas Rishayim, and every one of them has its special place and has its Madrega and it has its Gvul, meaning just like in the world of Gashmias there's rules of where things could go and how they could go, in the world of the Ruchnias that's attached to it, it also has rules. Again, everything is set up with a seder. There's gvulim. This is how it is. It starts up there, comes down here. But again, it's all with a seder. This is all, a synopsis of things we've learned. Now comes the exception to the rule. V'amna gazra achak ma'ayina she'oy la'kaychas apaylan b'agshamim mitzius bula shalayk esayde shashlus. There's a way to be pile in the gashmias outside of the rules, not in the normal way. Till now everything is said in a strict seder. There's the rules of the gashmias. It's all dependent on what happens in the ruchnias, which is a direct line straight down here, and that's it. You can't move out of the boundaries. But that's now there's a way, the Rebbeinu Shlomo made it, that you could have kaychas that have a hashpah on the gashmias, but not in the normal order. These kaiches could do things in this world of gashmias, but they're going to follow their own set of rules and not the rules of the gashmias. Normally, you have to, if you're in the world of gashmias, you got to follow the rules of the gashmias. However, these things are going to work in this world, but follow their own rules. And they're going to make it that the gashmias will be different. You have an eye, for example, a physical eye, so it can only see a certain amount. It has a gvul, how far it can see. And it can only see in the place that it is. It can't see in a farther place. Part of the gashmias is that this gashmias eye, as a gvul, can only see what's in its area. It can't see somewhere far away. Ruchnias, on the other hand, is not tied. It's not restricted by makam, by place. Ruchnias doesn't have place. Makam is a gashmias thing. So therefore, you could have sometimes that the ruchni could work and be mevatel the gashmias. And this is like kvitas hadera. What's Kvitas HaDerech? Because I'll say, Yaakov Avinu has Kvitas HaDerech, right? He went from Haran to Har Maria. So the Yaakov Avinu, what the Pshat is, he went on the Concord, and he watched all the places go by, but the Pshat is, in an instant, he was back by Har Maria. He wasn't able to pick up a souvenir on the way in each stop, right? It wasn't that on the way he was traveling, he passed by in each stop. When he had the Kvitas HaDerech, so you could say two things. If you're going to keep him in the rules of gashmias, that means he is mugvol to a certain place. So when you got to go from point A to point C, you have to pass through point B. So Matthias, I got to go through the makam. So I'll go on super turbo, but I'm still going through it. That's all in the rules of gashmias. But if for some reason, in a moment, I could transcend myself to ruchnias, makam is not impotent to ruchnias. So I don't have to, if I get from A to C, I don't have to pass through B. I could be there in a second. That's Kvitas HaDerech. That a person goes through a door, so to speak, of Ruchnias, and when he comes out on the other side, he's on the other side. He's there already. Because he wasn't. Now how's that possible? I have to follow the rules. I'm in the Gashmias world. The Banisham set up certain things of Ruchnias, as we'll see, according to certain rules. Everything has its rules, even the exceptions to the rule has its rules. But the rules are that if I could use the Ruchnias in the world of Gashmias, but I don't have the restrictions of the world of the Gashmias. So I'm going to go from point A in Gashmias to point C in Gashmias without passing through point B. Why? Because I wasn't restricted by travel in Makam. Makam is a place in the Gashmias. But if I use my Ruchnias, in an instant I went from place to place. How is that possible? We have no understanding of that. Because by definition to us, since we're in the world of Gashmias, what does that mean? How you get from A to C without passing through B? It's a Matthias. That's because we don't understand this world of Ruchnias, which in the world of Balei HaMachshava, so they call it the fourth dimension, right? Talks about the fourth dimension. There's three dimensions in the Gashmias. There's a fourth dimension, and that's Ruchnias. That's Ruchnias. It's here. It's somewhere over here, right? The mashal that they all give is that, for example, you have a chalkboard and you fill it up with pictures of stick people. They're all in two dimension, right? So if you fill it up on the board, right, and it's all, and you put them shoulder to shoulder, so they're all squished, right? What happens for a moment, if you would show them there's a third dimension called depth, right? All of a sudden, the entire room, they're on the wall, and they're all stuffed into this wall, right, because they're only in two dimensions. But if you show them there's an entire room here, a third dimension, all of a sudden, there's in so much room. Well, why are we so stuffed together? The same thing is with us. We're in three dimensions, but there's a fourth dimension called Olam HaRuchni. Now, we could look at this world and we'll say, we think we're all together and this is, we're restricted by it, but really, if we just open the door for a minute and look into this Ruchnias world, it's gigantic. That's how they explain how in the Beis HaMikdash, which is not mugbol to Makkaim because it's Malkam Ruchni, that they were able to stay, stood there shoulder to shoulder, so, but when they had to bow down Kairim, all of a sudden everyone had Dalet Amos. Where did Dalet Amos come from? It wasn't a nace, just for a moment, they were transcended into Ruchnias, that fourth dimension opened up and there's so much room. The Nefesh HaChaim talks about the person does a mitzvah, he's enveloped in Gan Eden. Where's the Gan? I don't feel any Gan Eden. There's this ruchnius that opens up around him. Be able to sense it. You could sense it there. But again, it's right here in this world with us. We just don't sense it. Like those thick people who never don't realize that there's a dimension, this entire world. So that's the same idea with this Kvitzus HaDerech. If for a moment the Ruchnius opens and Ruchnius is not restricted by Makkaim, all of a sudden it can be in the next place in a second. When it goes in the door and out the door, so to speak, it's right back. It's in an entirely different place. Because Ruchnius is not restricted by Makkaim. Makkaim is Gashmius. So that's the idea over here, that these things are going to work in the Olam HaGashmi, but not follow the rules of the Gashmi. And therefore, it could transcend the rules of the Gashmi. A person has the ability to use this Metzius. Just like a person who knows how to use the Gashmius and the Teva, he can use it. So if a person knows how to use these rules of Ruchnius, and it's a set of rules, he's able to use them and transcend the Gashmius. Just like the Teva, the nature, the Gashmius of the world a person could use, so the same way that he uses this, Pirish, the similarity is that even in the Teva, you have to follow the rules of the Teva. There's rules. When you use the Teva in this world, there's certain rules that you can't just do what you want. It won't work if you just do what you want. It's got to go according to the rules. And there's certain gvulim, there's limits to what you could do. For example, I live in the world of Gashmius, so I want to take a feather and I'm going to cut something with it. That's what I want to do, right? I have the bechira. You could do it, you could try it. It doesn't fit into the rules. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. When you want to go up somewhere, you got to go on a ladder. You can't just jump up. You're not going to make it. So you're able to use the Teva for whatever you want, but you got to follow the rules, and then you could use it. And again, it's only with its limits. If you want to push something in, you want to smush something, you have to be soft. You can't take a hard thing and start pushing it. What do you mean? But I want to do it. You're right. You're able to use it with the rules. So the same ideas with the Ruchnius. You say, wow, powerful thing. I can use so much. I can do whatever I want now if I know how to control the Ruchnius. No. It also has rules of what it could do, what it can't do, how you could use it, and how you can't use it. But you could use it. It's there if you know what to do. But it's similar to the Teva in the same way that there's rules and regulations and limits. So that is the Hakdama, so to speak, of what we're going to be talking about over here, as with the Inyanim of Shemais of Kedusha and the Inyanim of Kishuf, which are things that are Ruchaniyah, that have an effect in the Olam HaGashmi, which normally we say, what is one of, how could you mix worlds? Gashmi has its rules, Ruchniyah has its rules, but the Rabbeinu Shem wanted it that there are certain parts of the Ruchniyah's world you could use in the Gashmi's world, not restricting it to the Gashmi's rules, but it has its own set of rules and its own set of limitations. And we're going to stop over here because if you start Gimel, we have to continue, so to speak, continue on as he goes more in depth into Binyan. And Bezus Hashem, we will continue next week. You're very welcome.